Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
We prepare for that.
Middays on the Score.
We knew that was going to happen. We prepare for it. We know it. We always know it's coming. Always. Nothing catches us by surprise, because I'm Jim Boylan, clairvoyant. The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want to sign a one-day contract with the Chicago Wolves and earn a $5,000 signing bonus? Visit the Sprint store on Lamont Road in Darien between 1 and 3 p.m. tomorrow. Will Perdue is in for Connor McKnight. And I mentioned one of these.
I'm in
these,
tomorrow, too?
No, you can't be if
you want. Oh, I thought Saturday. That's what you were saying. I was like, man, caught me off guard here. Tomorrow's Saturday. Yeah. You don't work on Saturdays.
Not really, I guess. I don't know. But I still wake up, and I just sort of sit there and contemplate the end of the world as we know it and feel fine. But this, you want to get a rise out of me sometime. If you ever want to just make me mad, anytime I overhear, like I'm on the L or I'm at a bar or something, people are talking about basketball, I hate when somebody says, "If I were 7 feet tall, I'd be in the NBA too." That kind of thing. If only if I were that tall. These guys, of course, if I were that tall. No, you wouldn't. You would suck. You suck now, and if you were 7 feet tall, you'd suck then too. It's got to make you crazy. I'm sure you hear it. I'm sure that it's just, and I'm 5'8", and it makes me crazy because I've seen enough bad 7-footers. When you work in the CBA and the GBA and in college basketball, and you see all of these guys who are 7'2", or 7'3", or 7'5", and you know what? They're still bad. It's really, really hard to be good at basketball.
You know, I've unfortunately tormented myself by stopping and asking many people that have made that statement to, "Oh, really? Please explain."
Mm-hmm.
And then listening to their reasons about, "You just have to be 7 feet tall." "Oh, that's it? Just 7 feet tall. That's it. You don't have to be able to shoot a jump shot. You don't have to be able to play defense. You don't." So just because you would be 7 feet tall, that would make you an NBA player. Okay.
I mean, it's nice. It's good to be tall. It helps as long as the basket's 10 feet.
But what I've always tried to do, and see, here's the other thing that people don't understand. And maybe I've taken the wrong approach, but because of what I've done and because of how fortunate I feel I've been to not only play in Chicago, but to play professional basketball, and to be rewarded for it and paid very well, I always try to go past the point of being nice. I've basically had this jerk explain to me for 5-6 minutes about how if he was 7 feet tall, he would be in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always tried to end that conversation by, "Hey, I'll have to agree to disagree, but you know what? Let me buy you a beer and have a good day." Or mm-hmm. I've had people come to me and say different things that have not been very nice, but because they might have been a little inebriated, I haven't reacted. And I've looked at their friends and be like, "Do you want to take care of this?"
Yeah, you don't want to make a headline either. That's the last
thing.
They everybody's got cameras.
Escort them off. But I've always tried, and I've explained this to my son, you know, because I've had a couple times now where my wife has wanted to go off on a couple people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just explained
what
to
are
her.
What are they mad about?
I've just
What now?
I've explained that it's just, let's just it's not worth it. There's obviously something else bothering that individual that I happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And maybe they threw down a wager 20 years ago on a Bulls game where I missed a shot, or maybe I missed a free throw or something like that, that they cannot let go because instead of winning $20, they lost $20. I don't know, but that's just the hatred that some people have for athletes for whatever reason has never really explained anything to me. And, you know, there's somebody I'm actually having fun with this now.
See, now.
Because it doesn't bother me now.
Welcome to the Score text line.
It used to bother me when I played because I just didn't think people understood. I mean, the fact that I was at times during the season working out twice a day to try to improve because I wasn't playing. So if I'm not playing, I'm going to make sure I'm damn ready to play when they call my number. This guy said something about, oh, yeah, my friends used to call you, instead of Will Perdue, they called you Will Don't Deuce or something like that. There's already been so many texts, I can't even find it. But, you know, it's just, it's one of those things that it doesn't bother me now. I actually get pretty good humor out of it. But I think people also have to realize that sports is a form of entertainment. That's just like what we're doing right here is a form of entertainment. And I got into this side of it because it's a form of entertainment.
Yeah.
But, and when I step up here and I get asked to do this, I find it to be an honor because I don't think people understand how difficult it is because I saw somebody else tweeted, I'm 5'8", and I can be a radio host too.
Well, maybe, sure.
Yeah, hosting with Dan Bernstein, one of the toughest jobs.
Oh, God. You know, I didn't sleep very well last night because I knew what was coming. But I just there's certain skill sets, and if you were good at it, you'd probably be doing it.
Yeah, the only time I actually felt bad for when we traveled commercial, and in the minors when we travel on these little planes, they were when American Eagle was flying the propeller planes before they started, you know, falling out of the sky and crashing in horrible explosions, and they replaced them with jets because they were kind of icing up. But when I'd be on a, you know, there'd be 10 guys, you know, averaging whatever is 6'7", 6'8", and packed into, and I can sit comfortably and travel comfortably and not in actual pain for hours upon hours. You know, the way that when you're there were guys that would rather be on a bus for longer just because they could stretch out a little bit. Were you ever teammates with Chuck Nevitt when he had a brief stint with the Bulls? Were you still playing when Chuck was there? Do you remember him?
Yeah. Chuck actually challenged Michael Jordan to a dunk contest.
Yeah.
And Michael was like, yeah, okay, whatever, dude. So Chuck winks at us and goes, watch this. Chuck Nevitt runs up to the basket with both hands on the ball, goes over the front of the rim, touches the ball in the square, and then dunks the ball behind his head as his body takes him up underneath the backboard.
I've seen it.
You know what Michael did?
Same thing.
Dropped the ball and walked off the floor.
Because he didn't want to compete with him.
He couldn't. He didn't even try it.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, because Chuck's 7'5".
Right.
And when I had to watch him almost like methodically fold himself into an airplane seat in coach, it was like origami watching him do this. And then you have to sit there for 3 hours. I couldn't even imagine it. I mean, it's like he had to actually think, like, this leg goes here, this goes here. Now I contort.
Well, remember, it was all about seniority. So when I first came in the league, we were flying commercial, and you got to remember this. Michael Jordan used to fly and coach. It wasn't like, hey, he's Michael Jordan. He sits in first class. No. Seniority determined who sat in first class. That and that alone.
Really?
Yeah. When we first flew commercial before, you know, remember at the time, Detroit was the only team that had a plane. I think it was called like Airball One or something like that. Nobody else had planes and nobody else chartered. You just flew commercial. And the rule was, by NBA standards, you had to take the first flight out. And if you didn't and you were late or caused any delays or any problems, there was a significant fine to the league. To that team. So most of these places are in major markets.
Mm-hmm.
And in major markets, what time's your first flight? 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Right.
So when you played back-to-backs, You played, you got back to the hotel. And also remember, back even in Chicago, when you played on a Tuesday night, remember there were 7:30 games and we didn't get out of there until 10:30? Most of your restaurants were closed back in the 80s and 90s. It's not like it's night it is now. You had to identify a restaurant that was open. And then you still wouldn't get home till 12 or 1 o'clock because then you had to get something to eat. You couldn't just run home and jump in bed and knock yourself out. But then you knew you had to get up at 4 o'clock because you had to leave the house by 4:45 to get to O'Hare by 5:15, you know, for a 6 a.m. flight. And then you were sprinting through security to get there because our trainer at the time was Mark File. And if you weren't at the gate by a certain time, Mark File would take your ticket and your seat and give it back to the agent.
Really?
And you'd be like, Mark, where's my ticket? You're late. Mark, the plane's still here. You got to talk to the agent.
You mentioned Mark File, and I don't think I've ever told these stories. I'm fighting myself as to whether or not I should tell. Mark File, and I only know this
sounds
from,
like a book.
I know this from another athletic trainer who worked with him. Have you ever heard the stories about when Jerry Krause's back would go out?
I experienced it.
Okay. I don't think I've ever told this on the air before in 25 years. And I've heard this, that apparently Jerry, relatively often, he had multiple issues, as you know. He had the irritable bowel syndrome, and he had a chronic back problem.
Okay, this is where we're going? Okay, here we go.
Well, should I do? I guess I should.
Well, you've already gone down the road, man. Get back up now.
So
you're driving a car with no reverse, brother.
No, I've had it done. I've done a mountain. Well, Mark's phone would ring in the hotel.
Mark, back's out again.
Okay, Jerry, be right down. And he could go down to his room. And he said, first of all, anytime you walked into his room, it was just like clothes all over the place. Just like just everywhere. And he said, and one time, like, he's in the bathroom. And he's sitting on the, like,
Mark, my back's out.
Say, nope, Jerry. Nope, I'm not. It was like a Lethal Weapon thing where he had to get him from the, you know, into the bathtub, and then had to go find, he had to get him clothed, and then they had to get him to, like, get a cortisone shot at the hospital or something, and he couldn't sit up in the car. He's on all fours in the back seat of the car like a golden retriever. I mean, this was like once a road trip. It was like every single road.
Mark, Jerry, back's out again.
And he'd have to come down and sort of figure out how to get him where he had to go. And it was just like, you don't pay him enough.
So let me respond to this. So first of all, let's say Jerry Krause, God rest his soul.
Yes.
Was a genius.
Brilliant.
Okay, brilliant. Unfortunately for Jerry, he was a little socially inept. And he did have a back problem. And the only story I will tell, because I, at first, you know, this is one of those things when you're immature and you don't know better, people make fun of them, so you jump on the bandwagon. Hey, it's cool. I'm going to make fun of Jerry
Krause. Well, because Michael set the tone. Yes. Michael made, like, this is what we do.
Yeah, and I fell in line. But I just remember my rookie year, I get drafted. I go play out in the L.A. Summer League. Jerry's there. We're playing at, I mean, I remember it very specifically. We're playing at the L.A. Summer League at Loyola Marymount. We're staying at the Stouffer Hotel, which is right there. I think that's Sepulveda. I mean, you're literally 2 minutes from the airport, right?
That's when that league was still fun, too. That's before before it got corporatized.
Right.
And the stories about, do you remember Big John Williams, the Clipper?
That used to
go out and eat in his
hot
car.
Plate.
Yeah, in between games, he would go out and he would just eat. Yeah.
But I was down in the lobby, had just finished having breakfast, and Mark File walks by with, well, let's just say Jerry was with him. I'm not saying, I won't say how he was escorting him to the, in the cab. Maybe it was on a luggage rack. Maybe it wasn't. But Jerry, his back was hurting him so bad, he had to get into a cab on all fours. He couldn't sit.
That's what I'm saying. Yep. That was the
and
one
he closed the door, got in the cab, and they drove off. And it looked like Mark File, who was sitting in the front with Jerry in the back on all fours. And unfortunately, somebody yelled, "Roll the window down, let him hang his head out."
I wonder who would have yelled that.
But it was, well, believe me, it was Summer League, so there was a lot of undrafted players. But
yep.
But yep. As funny as that story was, and as funny as it was at the time, the one thing that people don't understand is let's just give credit where credit's due.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry didn't understand how to deal with the media. He didn't understand to use the media to his advantage. He kept digging himself bigger and bigger holes. But the one thing the guy did was he understood talent, and he understood how to put talent together.
Built a champion around a two-guard.
Right. But at the same time, to recognize individual players' strengths, regardless of how bad somebody else thought they were, to bring in a guy that, and here's a perfect example. This is no disrespect, but this is Bobby Hansen at the end of his career. A guy who pretty much nobody else wanted.
Helped win a finals game against Portland.
That's right. But basically, Jerry Krause brought him in, and he hardly played. And people wondered, why was he here? Because he had a specific skill set. But because our team was so good, Bobby didn't have to play. But when he was called upon to play, he produced.
Let's not forget Krause's greatest move. He turned Will Perdue into Dennis Rodman.
That's one of the biggest. Right. Hey, I tell people, I was traded for a Hall of Famer. Straight up.
That's right.
Straight up. Now, there might have been some cash and other incentives and stuff under the table, maybe. But at the end of the day, and I remember how mad I was when that happened. Because I knew Michael was now back. I knew that this team was going to, we were going to be back to being prominent. We were going to win championships again. But once I got over that and I realized that, you know, Jerry was just, and the thing that probably bothered me the most for a while, because Jerry always made a statement, we're a team of character, not a bunch of characters. And I remember the day I got traded, I was like, wait a minute. You just traded for the biggest character in the league. Hold on a second.
Yeah, that's true.
But I also went to an organization that wanted me to be there, and that kind of helped me answer a lot of questions about myself from the point of what I could and couldn't do as far as a basketball player. Because I thought that's kind of, even though it was a little bit later in my career, that's kind of when things kind of took off and I answered a lot of questions. I think if I would have stayed here, we still would have won championships. But I would have had a lot of unanswered questions about my skill set because Phil Jackson wanted me to play a certain way. He asked me to do certain things, and that's all he wanted from me.
You could pinch post action, right?
Yeah, I fit into that system great because of, you know, and that's one of the reasons why Jerry drafted me is because of how he felt I would fit into that triple post action and the things that I could do. You know what's even a better story?
Tease it.
Tex Winter.
Okay.
The mastermind of the triple post.
All right, we'll get to that. This segment brought to you by Campland RV. RV buying made easy. It's Campland RV's annual RV open house, February 21st through 23rd. Don't miss your chance to receive discounted RV show prices on select models. Call them at 219-787-1040 or visit the website at camplandrv.com for details. Campland RV, RV buying made easy. He is Will Perdue in for Connor McKnight. When we come back, we're going to hear that story, and we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see The Masked Singer, live at Rosemont Theater on June 5th. So don't go anywhere. Keep it here on The Score. All right, you want to go see The Masked Singer? Of course you do. My guess is that these tickets are really popular with husbands and dads trying to score some points here. Caller 6 to the contest line, 312-591-6700. We'll win a pair of tickets to see The Masked Singer live at the Rosemont Theater on June 5th. Telling old basketball stories here. This is fun. This is sort of like how I feel like I'm at a Marriott bar at 1:30 in the morning into our third bottle of Pinot Noir here, just telling basketball stories. I really miss that about covering the game. I miss that about being a play-by-play guy, of hanging with players and coaches and sitting at a hotel bar and drawing plays on napkins and reminiscing about, you know, street legends and all the guys and some of the stuff. It's always great fun with Will Perdue and for Connor McKnight today.
You know, that's the best part about our job is, you know, not only this, working for NBC Sports Chicago, but also for Westwood One Radio when I do college games. Like next week I'm doing Seton Hall at Marquette. But it's that 10 to 15 minutes we get with each coach. Because all they want to do is, okay, they'll answer your questions real quick, but then they want to talk about the NBA. Mm-hmm. They want to ask questions about Michael or what do you think about this or what do you think about that? It's that's the best part. Now, a lot of that stuff I can't talk about publicly, because it's off the record, but it's just sitting down and actually talking to guys that just want to talk basketball in the purest form, and guys that you look up to and you respect, but yet they want to talk about basketball at the NBA level.
It's a sport that lends itself to that, too, because it's not like these uptight football coaches and, oh, I can't tell you that. That's a secret. That's our magical play that nobody else has. The fact that ball don't lie and the fact that everybody knows what everybody's running and everybody at some point has played for everybody else, whether it was in the AAU circuit or somewhere along the line. There's so few players at the elite level and there's so few coaches at the elite levels that everybody at one point or another has intermingled. You said you had something about Tex Winter.
So when I first got here, you know, I was graduated in 88. So when I first got here, Tex Winter was an assistant coach. In my first year, it was Doug Collins, and we weren't running the triangle. We were running pieces of it. But Tex was very, what's the best word? Thrifty?
Yes.
He had property all over the United States.
Frugal, yeah.
Frugal, yes. So we used to always give Tex a hard time because when we used to play in San Antonio and come to find out in other cities, when as the NBA started to improve and they started to upgrade at the hotels we stayed at, Tex got mad because, like, I didn't realize this, but in San Antonio, the Marriott we stayed at was directly across the street from his favorite restaurant.
Okay.
Denny's.
Nothing against Denny's. I'm a fan. I love it.
I love the Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. I still go there to this day.
The Super Duper Slam, even better.
Ooh, I didn't know about that.
Oh, yeah, that's new. That's got all-you-can-eat pancakes and the whole thing for just $6.99.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was so super they had to add a duper.
Is there one downtown? But he got mad because we upgraded the hotel to a new hotel somewhere in San Antonio, and he got mad because he was no longer within walking distance of the Denny's.
Well, it
would have had to cost money to get in a cab to go to Denny's to get to. Now, not only, but it was he was a senior, and he loved the senior citizen special.
Okay.
So basically, even though he was getting a lot of money for per diem per day to cover all his meals, he still loved the fact he could go to Denny's, get breakfast, and tip for less than $5.
I see. What I always found interesting when I was younger going to Bulls games, you had the two old guys next to Phil, right? You had Johnny Bock, you had Tex Winter, right? The two white-haired guys. And if you were to ask which one is Tex, the answer
would be Johnny Bock.
The guy in the Western cut suit, because his suit jackets always had, I don't know how else to describe it. I don't know the actual tailoring term, but the back of his suit jackets were all that like cowboy cut. So,
but he also wore a bolo tie all the time.
So you'd think that's Tex.
And for those that don't know what a bolo tie is, it's basically
string tie.
A string tie with a metal ornament up where the knot would be.
A little slider thing.
And he always wore boots.
Right. So that guy dressed literally like a cowboy.
But,
and it wasn't Tex.
Right. So everybody was like, wait a minute. Tex Winter is not that guy? Right. No, that's Johnny Bock.
It was something always.
Tex Winter is that guy over there.
It's completely incongruent that the guy who's literally dressed like a cowboy wasn't the one who's named Tex.
Well, let's put it this way. Johnny Bock is as old school as it gets. Okay. A lot of people don't know this. When he was having a heart attack, he called a cab.
Instead of an ambulance?
He was at home by himself. He's like, I think I'm having a heart attack. Instead of calling a cab, he called a cab, and he walks into the emergency room and goes, I'm having a heart attack.
See, there's one thing. It's one thing to be old school. It's another thing to be an idiot. And My guess is
calling an ambulance is soft.
Yeah, right. So now we're back to what Ben Gordon was saying about mental illness and the stigma. When anybody said, "Yeah, you're soft. You called an ambulance when you had a heart attack,"
but that's just as old school as it was, and it was just. But that's the thing that you're talking about. I mean, it's just the story. I mean, we could sit here. I mean, because some of the better stories are what you dealing with stuff that goes on in the minors,
dude.
Some of the best times I had was every year at the beginning of the year, like you talked about Chuck Nevitt.
Mm-hmm.
You for training camp, you would expand the roster to 20 guys.
Right. And so what I'm doing is because we didn't have an assistant coach, and I also had to be like the player personnel guy for some years, I'm looking at all the players that we have the rights to that are in camps, talking to their agent saying, well, if and when he gets cut. Oh, he's not going to cut. He's making the team. Like, yeah, whatever. If and when he gets cut, is he going to come play for us or is he going to go to the Philippines? That was one of my jobs, was to call all the agents and figure out where those guys were going to end up once they got cut.
Right. But one of the best stories I ever, because I obviously knew about the CBA, because back then the CBA had a contract with ESPN and they had like the CBA game of the week.
That's when you were trying to think, David Wood, was he in camp with you?
Yeah. I just actually saw David Wood over the weekend. He was here for All-Star Weekend.
Good player.
But what people didn't realize, I didn't realize this till the CBA guys told me. I was like, dude, man, you guys play in all these small cities and they love you. Every time you watch the games, the stands are full. He goes, no, they're not. They put the cameras on one side of the arena. Mm-hmm. They tell everybody else to sit on the other side. Mm-hmm. So you see all 500 people in the shot, and you're like, man, it's crowded there. They got a good crowd tonight. Well, there's nobody on the other side because that's where the camera is. So we're all out to dinner, and this one guy goes, I bet you I got a story for you. I'm like, what? He goes, I can't prove this, but I think I was traded for a six-pack and a pizza in the CBA. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, they wouldn't complete the deal until they threw the pizza in.
There was a guy who was traded for a sweatsuit. I know that for sure. That's absolutely true. And I forgot his name. It was a big, big white dope. And he got traded for this really nice custom sweatsuit that the coach wanted. And they said, here, you can have him. That is absolutely 100% true, and it was listed officially as cash considerations.
You better be careful when you see cash considerations, because you're not sure what that consideration is.
Well, if you want to read the book that tells it, Charlie Rosen, Phil's best friend.
Charlie is a...
You know Charlie?
Ooh, oh, yeah.
Okay, well, Charlie...
Charlie used to be at our practices all the time.
Well, he's... By the way, the bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena on Sunday when they host Minnesota at 2 p.m. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. When Charlie coached in Rockford, this is before I got there, he was a maniac, a wild man, a screamer, and he would you know, grab referees. And this was, I mean, the coaches, this is after the Norm Van Leer incident and then everything that had gone on there. Charlie now is just like this sort of rabbinical presence. He's this very quiet, elder statesman. He wrote a book called Cockroach Basketball League, where he changed all the names, but I know who everybody actually is. I know who, and he combines some people into some characters, but and it sounds like these stories are made up and hyperbolized, and they're not. they're just not. They're real.
Oh, I remember, and I hope I can say this word. These guys, oh, that's kind of funny, man. I'm looking over there. Those guys all sat up in their chairs. I think the finger's on the dump button.
Yep.
They were just kind of like relaxing, like, oh, crap, what's he going to say? But, so you remember Dave Corzine?
Very well.
Went and coached the Rockford Lightning for a year.
No, Chicago Rockers.
Chicago, okay, I
did play-by-play for them.
Right. So Dave and I became good friends because Dave was still with the Bulls when I came here. And he told me that back then the CBA was a bastard league. I'm like, what do you mean, bastard league? He goes, you could never game plan because – you didn't know if your best player was going to be there that mm-hmm. night. I go, what do you mean that night? He goes, I had numerous times where I had a game plan. We're literally giving the pregame speech. There's 6 minutes to go on the pregame clock. And then, Dave, your best player, he needs to come with me. He just got picked up. He just got signed to a 10-day.
Or he left for Venezuela.
Yeah.
And they don't tell you until you're sitting waiting at the bus. It happened to us. Same thing, best play. He's playing in the Philippines.
Yeah, and what? Dave would be like, wait a minute. Can he go after the game? That's my best player. And Dave's like, as a coach, you're trying to win games when sometimes you have no chance of winning a game. He said that they'd literally been on the bus and the door closed, and all of a sudden somebody ran the bus down and they had to pull somebody off a bus mm-hmm. to get them to a city somewhere because somebody had picked them up on a 10-day.
I've had players thrown in jail in the middle of a road trip. You know, you get a guy who ends up in a city where there were like four different paternity suits and they end up, you know, picking him up and taking him off. Like, well, where is he? Well, he's not eligible. Wichita Falls rolled into Rockford one night with five players suited up. Right? They ended up activating their assistant coach just to have another body. And our player, and we were like, you know, 20 games over 500. Everybody on the bench is like, man, this is going to be great. And our coach, Mauro Panaggio, now you always worry about a wounded dog. I don't like the way you guys are approaching this. You can't have to take every game seriously. They're professionals too. Come on, coach. Come on. Get out of here with this. They got five dudes and their assistant coach. And the assistant coach was Mike Davis, who ended up coaching at Indiana.
Right.
And he was just... They got him a uniform. They put him out there. Who do you think hit the buzzer-beating game winner?
Mike Davis.
Damn right he did. I told you guys, if you don't play hard, you can't take anything for granted in this game. And I'm like, oh, here we go. But it was, I'll be damned if it didn't happen, because they had mailed it in.
And that's just, you know, that's the lovely thing and enjoyable thing about minor league sports is just what these people, players, will go through just for a chance, a sniff of the big leagues. And that's just the ultimate respect right there.
We are going to have a brief visit coming up next with Colin Faulkner, the Cubs senior VP of sales and marketing, because he's going to tell you all about how tickets are going on sale.
Oh, I have some serious questions.
Yeah, how you can get them, what specials are going on, and this is the information that you need as a Cub fan is coming your way next on The Score.
Cubby!
Big day for the Chicago Cubs. It was certainly a big night last night. They had the event at the ballpark, the 2020 ticket premiere at Wrigley Field to get everybody going. And now tickets are moving. Here to talk about that and the opportunities you're going to have to consume Cubs baseball. Joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, is Colin Faulkner, the Cubs Senior VP of Sales and Marketing. Hi again, Colin. How you doing, man?
Chance, how are you?
We're good. So tickets, as we speak, right now, on sale.
Flying off the shelves as we speak, yes. We did have the premiere event last night, which you talked about. We've not done that before, but we were trying to combine sort of our theme this year around where stories play and talking about how baseball is the ultimate drama, as we've certainly seen over the last month. And really the on sale of the tickets today, which started at 10 a.m. at Cubs.com, and fans can go there. Hopefully they're not in the waiting room for too long. But yeah, we're selling tickets for Cubs baseball.
All right. So Colin, this is coming from a baseball fan. I consider myself a purist. Okay.
Yep.
When I first came to Chicago back in the 80s, I, like a lot of people, went to Cubs games because it was fun, man. It was a party. It was the place to be. Mm-hmm. Showed up early. Yep. I mean, there were many times I spent over 12 hours in Wrigleyville on a Saturday, or a Friday, or a Thursday.
Or a Friday and a Saturday.
Yes, maybe. But and this is not a criticism. Please don't take it this way. But for like a purist, I got to the point where I stopped going because I thought there were too many people there that weren't – they were just there for the experience. But I feel like things have changed because obviously – guys have won a World Series. The expectations have changed. But how has the actual experience at Wrigley Field changed over the years? It's made it so much more attractive for everybody.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, certainly we are fortunate that we have this gem of a place to watch baseball, this cathedral called Wrigley Field. So I think we're really fortunate in that. And while we've had years where the team has been better or not so good, one of the constants has always been, you know, the experience here at Wrigley Field. And certainly in the last few years, we've made significant investments in the ballpark and the surrounding area to make sure that we're continuing to invest in that experience, knowing that we always can't control the experience on the field. But what we can control is the experience that people have when they come to Wrigleyville and to Wrigley Field, and what they can do before, during, and after the game. So, you know, the addition to the ballpark and the exterior of Gallagher Way, which was not here when you were stumbling down Clark Street years ago.
Who said I was stumbling? I tripped.
Sorry. Has been great. So it's, you know, for families, for non-families, I think it's all those things have been a great addition to the experience and has really raised the raise that level, hopefully, and that was our goal.
Is there anything new for this season that we need to know? Because I know sometimes there's entrance, exit, or security reconfigurations, or game times, packaging. What do we need to know that's going to make this year new and different?
Yeah, I think every year during the project, it felt like we always had some big new thing. We were bringing on new suites or new club spaces, or we renovated the bleachers, or we put in these crazy things called video boards. This year, I don't think that we have a significant – we introduced metal detectors at one point. For this season, I don't think there's a significant thing that's going to change the fan experience to this point, from what we've done in the past. So I think there's been talk about netting, and I think that's been addressed. So that may be a change for folks. But as far as the experience, I don't think that there'll be a significant change this year as there has been the past several years. I've heard they're redoing the press box specifically for you guys, but that shouldn't affect our fans.
What about any new ideas for promotional nights, et cetera?
Well, we have a bunch of things this year. I think we have over 30 giveaways this season. We've always really prided ourselves on trying to be creative as it relates to things that we give away, whether it's bobbleheads or replica scoreboards or things like that. We will be celebrating the 84 team a little bit this year with a replica jersey from the 84 team. So we've got a bunch of fun giveaways. And then really, one thing that is new this year is we're test piloting something this year around 640 games. So as we continue to not only super serve our existing fans, but grow the next generation of fans, a lot of that next generation of fans have a bedtime, and baseball games have I don't know if you've heard, but they've gotten a little long. And so one of the things we're test piloting is prior to Memorial Day and after Labor Day on the ends of the season, having our game start at 6:40, so that whether you're coming to the ballpark or you're at home watching on TV or listening on 670 The Score, that you can get a little bit more of the game with a little bit earlier start time. So we'll see how that goes, see how fans respond to it, but we thought it was worth trying based on some surveys we did to our fans this year and the feedback that we got. So we'll see how that goes, and that's something that's new and different.
I love that. I mean, that's tremendous. So single game tickets are on sale now. It started today, and like you say, the sooner you get there, and if you're able to click around, find what you want, find the games you want, this is probably your best chance to do it, and you won't be in the waiting room long. Colin, always appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Colin Faulkner, the Cubs Senior VP of Sales and Marketing. Thanks to our guests today, Craig Calcaterra and Colin Faulkner. Will, thank you. This is really a lot of fun.
I'll come back anytime.
See, I could sit and talk ball. I want to hear like the off-the-record stories. I could just, I mean, seriously, the hotel bar stuff is just the best. Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the Mexicutioner Ray Diaz did what they do as well. I saw Anthony Heron out there. I assume it's Heron and Grody again like it was yesterday. We will do transition with them when we return momentarily on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.